Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL D Unit and today you're here for my updated look at my chip strategy for the rest of the season from the rank of 1054. Yes, I've still got four chips left. I've only got the assistant manager not available to me and there's 9 weeks left. So four of the next 9 weeks, I have to be having a chip active. And this is what my thoughts are looking ahead, projecting myself into what is likely to be the FA Cup, what I'm expecting from double game week 33 and blank game week 34. And hopefully the information I provide you with today will hopefully get you thinking a little bit differently to what is being published out there by the majority of people. But before we go any further, can you please smash a like on the video if you haven't done so already? And if you haven't already subscribed, please feel free to do so. It definitely helps me. The aim is to get to 1,000 subs. This week alone, we've gone from 800 to 843 so far. So hopefully that continues to trend in the right direction. I can't do it without your support, so please think about doing so. And without further ado, let's jump into it. So, the updated chip strategy, what are we looking at the moment? So, as you can see there, I played my assistant manager chip in game week 24 through to 26. And eventually, at the other end of that, I did rise to 6,686. Since then, I've just been rolled. Well, I rolled transfers in game week 27, and the aim was to move it in 28. And I think, in reality, I might have made a mistake going from Hall to 8 Nori, but it hasn't really made too much of a difference, obviously, there. And then I took a minus 4 in game week 29, and this is where I got a little bit aggressive. I just thought, stuff it, I'm going to go for broke and hope for the best. And it turned out that it worked out pretty well, up to 1,054. And now I'm 50-50, in fact, more than 50-50. I'd say I'm actually more 75%, 25% in wildcarding in game week 30. And I'm going to be explaining that, why. But that's the old graphic. I'm going to just whack that up at the end on every Wednesday from, well, when every midweek, whatever it is between now and the end of the season, just to see how I'm going. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I've made the other graphic that I'm going to be talking to a little bit better. And hopefully, by the way, you'll notice I've changed the graphics a little bit here. I'm going to get a ticker out on the weekend because I've got a free week. But let me know if you prefer the white background in terms of the writing or the black and what one's easier to read. I am intrigued to know. So please let me know in the comments. So the blanks and doubles, the first blank game week of the season is over and done with, and it just showed that if you attack it with some ferocity, if you're willing to take a hit or two, it can reap dividends. I obviously got 86 points minus four with that one hit, but 82 points is a hell of a lot better than the majority of people. I mean, the average, I think, was like 30 or 40 points this week. So just goes to show that if you play your cards right, you can just rack up the points like there's no tomorrow. Obviously, the next double is game week 32, and I've been in the perspective the whole season long in double game week 24, double game week 25. The only players I own were three Liverpool because I liked the Liverpool fixtures. I thought they were good. I didn't own any Aston Villa assets. I didn't own any Everton assets outside of the manager. So I had David Moyes and I had Unai Emery. And I think that potentially we are overblowing some of these double game weeks a little bit. But I think for game week 32, I do think you'd need three Palace assets and three Newcastle assets. I do like the fixtures for them in the lead up to that as well, which is why I think that a wildcard 30 makes much more sense. And we'll look at double game week 33, potentially the teams that could make that in a second. But I'm not as thrilled on that double game week as everyone else is. And yes, I do. I am most likely to play my bench boost there. There are some really good fixtures. But I just think the doubles are getting overblown because, and I understand that a lot, there's two different ways of thinking about this. A lot of the teams that are in the FA Cup quarterfinals, they are also in the running for getting a Champions League spot or getting Europe through the league. So maybe they want to play the best team there. I just think that when it gets to the semi-finals, the teams that get through will want to win, especially if Man City get knocked out by Bournemouth. I can't see those four last teams not wanting to sit there and field the best possible side, the freshest possible side in those FA Cup semi-finals, because you can get into the Europa League that way as well. And realistically, I think we all expect Man City, potentially Newcastle, to get into the Champions League places between now and the end of the season. And that just leaves Nottingham Forest and Chelsea, in my mind, fighting it out. The rest can all get through to the Europa League quite easily by just winning the FA Cup. So, and it's also a piece of silverware, and not many of them ever, well, I don't even know when any of the last of them won the FA Cup. So there you go, outside of Man City, it's a very long time. So for me, I just think that that's going to be really important. And I think that's going to play a large line of thinking in regards to where I'm going with my chip strategy in particular. Obviously, we don't know blank game week 34 what that will look like yet, and we'll have a look at that a little bit later on. But the key thing to note is those games may not all necessarily go into double game week 33. They might even go into double game week 33. We're expecting that based off like the blokes from Planet FPL and Ben Crennel and that. But there's no guarantee that there's going to do that. We've already seen this season double game week 32 we weren't expecting, double game week 25 we weren't expecting. So the Premier League might have their own ideas. So it is a little bit of iffy-fairy until they actually confirm it. And I get why people are saying wild card later so you know when they're going to be. But in my eyes, you're playing the fixtures. Everyone's got the same amount of fixtures between now and the end of the season, except Crystal Palace and Newcastle will have one extra. All right? Everyone else has got exactly the same amount of fixtures. And I think that is what you need to be playing here, not just who's going to be doubling in any given week. The points are going to average out. It just doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense to me. Obviously, the FA Cup final could also create a double game week, depending on European progress and a blank game week in 36 and 37. So 36 would be the double, 37 would be the blank. But this is all very dependent on a bunch of factors that in reality, we're not going to know for at least another month or so. So the FA Cup quarterfinal draw. So the four fixtures haven't changed. Preston North End, you would expect to lose to Aston Villa. You would expect Aston Villa to account for them quite easily. Bournemouth versus Manchester City, on the other hand, is a real 50-50 game. Like, Bournemouth's home form of late has not been flash, but Man City have been horrible. That game could be like a 3-all. It could be an absolute... most of these ties, the other three all Premier League ties, could be absolute classics. And I don't know the result of either of them. If I was a betting man, I'd say Brighton are going to do Forest because I reckon Forest are more interested in chasing Champions League. So I would expect them to rest some of their players potentially there. Fulham have also shown that they're not interested in the Premier League, so they're likely to rest players for the FA Cup, vice versa. In reality, I would love Crystal Palace to win this game because it sets up a double game week for them, obviously in 33, or they lose because either way, it's hard to tell. I'm not sure which result I actually like more. I just feel like if Fulham play Southampton in a double, they're 100% resting players against Southampton. Like Anthony Robinson, that already happened earlier in the season when he got rested so he could play Man United in the FA Cup. They rested him against Wolves. So I believe that Fulham probably will be one of those teams that rotate and primarily focus in on the FA Cup. The other ones, it's all a bit of conjecture. But as you can see there, it is problematic. And especially when you look at the fixtures, which, for all intents and purposes, lots of people sitting there talking about Arsenal. I don't rate the Arsenal assets at all, except on a free hit in game week 38. I rate them. I'm not actually tempted by any of them really at this point in time. And Saka's coming back from injury. The thing they're going to be most focused on, they know the league is done. Like, we all know the league is over. Unless Liverpool sit there and lose six games on the bounce from here on in, which is just not going to happen with the fixtures they've got in front of them. No one's winning the league. In that case, Arsenal resting players for the Champions League, that takes absolute precedence. So, it obviously, for them to actually have a blank anyway in 34, Crystal Palace need to beat Fulham, and that's no given here. I expect Fulham have been going all out in the FA Cup this season. I wouldn't be surprised if they did Crystal Palace, even though Palace did them a couple of weeks before in the league at home. I just don't know. They're so hard to call. The one fixture I would say is almost 95% plus, definitely not going to be happening. Man City, Aston Villa. But I'm not keen on many Aston Villa assets. I still haven't been since I owned Watkins and Rodgers very early on in the season for a nice little run of fixtures. I just think the fact that they're still in European competition as well is just counting against me really wanting to go for them. And Man City just have Pep Roulette, and that's just also really hard to do. But what we do know is that Newcastle will have a very nice fixture in game week 34. So owning three assets in a wild card 30 makes a lot of sense and holding them through the rest of the season. Wolves versus Leicester, again, Ait Nouri is probably the only one I really think of. Cunha is going to be back for game week 34, so maybe you look at him potentially on a free hit. Liverpool versus Spurs. You would expect Liverpool to win this. They could even win the title, I think, in this game, potentially, if results go a certain way between now and then. Mo Salah looks like the best captaincy option there. And then Chelsea versus Everton. Obviously, you probably want Cole Palmer as well. But these are all things that you need to be considering when you're looking into the next little bit. And this is where it all gets a little bit interesting. So, my updated chip strategy. So, at the moment, I've actually taken a -4. So, I've got Munoz and Ismaili Assar in for Cole Palmer out and Creswell, who came in for 1 week, did nothing, and out he goes. But that was just purely because of the fact that I just needed that move to bring in Haaland in game week 29. Now, I'm quite happy rolling with two Palace and potentially doing it, but it makes no sense to me when I could get Mateta in, I could get Isak, I could get my Newcastle assets in game week 30 and just prioritise setting myself up for what is definitely going to be double game week 32. And then I've obviously gone a week earlier than what a lot of other people are going to be doing in game week 31, which means I should get an advantage in game week 30 on all the other people that are holding till game week 31. Yes, they might know the fixtures. They might not know the fixtures. So in that case, if you still don't know the fixtures by game week 31, you've really done yourself a disservice, because it makes so much more sense bringing in all these assets in game week 30 in preparation for 32 rather than sitting there and leaving it. That's just my honest opinion, which is why I'm 75% highly likely to play my wild card in game week 30 and not to play it in 31. It also then allows me to roll transfers in 31, roll transfers in 32, potentially play my triple captain there, depending on whether Isak looks like he's in form and he's fit, then 100% he's definitely in my line of thinking for game week 32. In game week 33, I then, depending on what happens in that Palace game, I'm either selling my three Palace assets with my three transfers in 33 in preparation for game week 34, where we might, you know, have whatever. Yeah, it's all a lot of conjecture. Like, I don't really want to free hit in 34 is where I'm going with this. I'm more likely, and we'll get into my most likely form of strategy, but I really want a final week free hit. And there's a reason why. I'm going to go into a free hit draft in this video for game week 38 as well. So if you're intrigued to know why I'm thinking about that, I'm going to hopefully share that with you and it'll hopefully make a little bit of sense. In terms of blank game week 34, I'm more than happy to take a -4, -8. Judging from how well game week 29 went and how low the scoring was, I'm backing myself in to do the same thing again and come out the other side, hopefully with some nice sun and rain going on. But we'll have to wait and see what that particularly looks like. Game week 35, obviously the plan is, even though that could be a potential double game week, that could be a Nottingham Forest versus Brentford thing there, particularly if Brighton lose. That's where the Nottingham Forest fixture most likely will go, potentially. We don't know. I'm just guessing at this point, but it is a potential for it to be a double game week. So I could even save the, depending on who wins, the triple captain till then. Maybe I could play it on a Bryan Mbeumo or a Chris Wood or a Morgan Gibbs-White or an Alangard, depending on who, whatever, ifs, buts, and maybes, we really don't know. Again, game week 36, most likely, probably going to be a normal game week, and I just make my transfers as fit. Same with 37, as fit, unless obviously certain teams make the final and then there has to be, you know, reschedules. Probably not going to happen. And then in game week 38, that's play a free hit. I'd literally pick on the fixtures, have a massive finish. Hopefully my rank continues to go as well. So that's my plan at the moment. How does this relate to my actual strategy? Well, this is what it relates to. So, the updated strategy, as I said, I played my first wild card in game week 12. This is why it feels nice to play it now. Like last season, I got a little bit cute, and I played it in 33, 34. I think everyone like played it, I think, about 32, 33. I played it literally 2 weeks later, thinking I was going to be clever, wait for a bit more information. It cost me a top 100,000 finish. So this year, I'm on the other line of thinking that I played my first wild card in game week 12, had a really good start, decent start. Then since then, I played the assistant managership 24, 26, and now I think is the time to be playing wildcard. So if my strategy one is 75% what I'm likely to do, wildcard in 30, triple captain in 32, bench boost 33, and then free hit 38. I just want to finish with a bang, really. And if I can get through 35 without making too many things, I just like the fixtures. The last week of the season, you'll see, have a look at the moment when we have a look at the fixture difficulty rating, that there is some nice fixture swings for that very last game week. Arsenal versus Southampton, triple Arsenal defence in that last week potentially could be absolutely massive. So that's why I just quite like the free hit there. Strategy two is wild card in 31, bench boost 33, free hit 34, and then potentially 35, 36 play the triple captain, depending on whether there's a thing there. Just because of the fact that there's a chance Erling Haaland could potentially have a double game week in there. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it's going to work. I'm just conscious of the fact that Erling Haaland also plays Southampton and I think someone else that's easier over those fixtures. Strategy three, wildcard in 30, bench boost 33, 35-36, triple captain, one of them weeks, and then free hit 38. So you can see I really like the free hit at the end of the season here because they're in three of the four strategies. In the fourth strategy, which is probably the most least likely, game week 32, triple captain, game week 33, bench boost, wild card out of the blank game week in 34, but then again, it only really allows 3 weeks because then a free hit in 38. So there's so many things that just don't, I don't like about these things. I just really think that free hit in 38 is brilliant. But if you've still got all your chips available, definitely the best play. Wildcard 30, AM chip 31 to 33, free hit 34, triple captain bench boost in 35 and 36. You can swap whatever order around that. If you don't like that one, I've got number two, wildcard 30, 31, triple captain 32, bench boost 33, free hit 34, assistant manager, you either then play 35 to 37 or 36 to 38. The reason why I prefer the assistant manager earlier is because of the fact that by the last 3 weeks of the season, the results are going to be probably all over the place, and I'm not sure that's where I would be going if it was my way of thinking. And I just think that looking back, I think the best time to play the assistant managership was actually 24 to 26. We'll know that by the end of the season whether it was correct or not. So the fixture difficulty rating as of game week 30. Now, I've actually whacked on the last few weeks of the season, so we can actually have a look at what it looks like between now and game week 34, and then you can see that there's some fixtures there that like look brilliant all the way through. So Newcastle, as you can see there, had brilliant fixtures up to like game week 35. Then they get a bit tough, but they have an amazing home fixture against Everton the last game of the season. So you can see why I'm liking the look of a free hit. If you look at Arsenal, really good fixtures up until pretty much game week 34 as well. Then it gets hard from 35, 36, 37, but finish with a bang in 38. Aston Villa, that's why I said I'm not really too keen on them. Other than 32 when they've got Southampton away, I don't really like the fixtures for Aston Villa. And in reality, are they maybe going to rest some players against Southampton? I think a lot of teams are going to start resting players against Southampton that are in Europe or that are in the FA Cup. Because it makes a lot of sense to me. Southampton are literally championship fodder at this point. I don't even know if they'll be back the year after year. Bournemouth, as you can see there, really good again, up until 35. Again, amazing fixture on 38. Like, you can see why the free hit is looking so good. Brentford, no good up until probably 35, 36. But then they also have an amazing fixture in game week 38. So, like, the free hit in 38 just looks unbelievably good. Doesn't matter which way you look at it. Again, as I said, Newcastle, amazing. Everton, obviously last game of the season. West Ham, team to talk about, they also have Ipswich away last game week of the season. So like there's so many good assets there, and obviously Wolves have the Brentford fixture, but I would expect that Brentford are going to probably spank Wolves in that game, even though it's away from home. But that's just my line of thinking. Man City have an interesting run. No red on the ticker for them, but they are just in a weird run of form. And I think for that reason, you've just got to be a little bit careful with them. So what my current team is currently looking like. So Areola and Fabianski are rotating in goal because, you know, one of them is going to be starting. I've obviously bought in Ismaili Assar and Munoz for that -4. And I've got 4.1 million in the bank. The good news is I've got two Palace assets versus Southampton. If I wanted to delay this week, obviously I've got the Brentford boys still, but in reality, I'd rather the Newcastle boys. Bournemouth coverage is good. I've got two players from them. Strong position, obviously, if Forest win in the FA Cup, very good position. Chris Wood and Milinkovic already in the team. If I wild card at the moment, I can tell you Chris Wood isn't in the team. I just think that maybe he's gone a little bit off the boil. Obviously, I've got no Villa or Newcastle coverage, which is a significant problem, particularly once we've just looked at the fixtures there. We can see that Southampton, as I said, 32 against Aston Villa. But Newcastle have an amazing run. They've got Brentford, Leicester, and then they've got the double, Palace and Man United, and then they've got Ipswich in 34. So look, the fixtures are just so good for them. Yeah, but so with that being said, this is why I want a wild card, and this is probably where I'm going to go in game week 30 if I do activate the button, which is potentially might happen over the weekend. So as you can see there, there are a few flags in this team. But it is all about positioning yourself. Now, As I said, I'm not a massive fan of Arsenal, but I'm happy to cover one of their defenders because I think the majority of people are going to go two, and I'm happy to have one for a bench boost in 33 and potentially cover the couple of clean sheets that maybe come their way. So Raya is in goal at the moment. That's definitely up for debate because in reality, I'm not 100% sold on it. Now, I've ditched Aitnori on this draft as well. As you can see there, the only two defenders that stay obviously, I've already bought Munoz in this week, but he wasn't there prior to this week. Kerkez obviously stays. Milinkovic obviously stays. And Dan Byrne, Wan-Bissaka, and Munoz come in. So I've got my Newcastle coverage in the back line, my Crystal Palace coverage in the back line, and I've got that West Ham fixture run. Wan-Bissaka, I think, is definitely the pick there as well at 4.5. In the midfield, I've still gone with Kluivert. I've gone with Jared Bowen. Again, I really like that West Ham run, and now I've got triple West Ham in here. Keeping Mo Salah makes no reason to get rid of a man who's definitely going to be after and chasing those records. Anthony Gordon comes in a week early. Now, if you don't have the team value I do, and I've obviously got a very big team value in my team, 108 million to be exact, you can easily just get rid of Gordon for Murphy if it just means that you can work your team a little bit easier. I don't think there's a hell of a lot between them. I just think I prefer Anthony Gordon. He's going to be nice and rested. He's going to be wanting to come back and put a shift in. Ismaili Assar is obviously in there as well. Now, some people might prefer Eze. I did previously. Over the last few weeks, I have definitely preferred Ismaili Assar, though, just judging from what I've watched in those games. And he is a bit more attacking and a bit more clinical compared to Eze. Mateta, obviously, we expect to be fine. And he obviously joins Isak and Haaland and probably the most dynamic front three. Now, it doesn't mean I've just literally ditched Cole Palmer. There's no Saka in this team. And I think that that makes perfect sense. I'm going with the three, what I expect to be, the three informed forwards to finish the season. And I'm keeping Mo Salah. And then I have to obviously make a few sacrifices in the midfield and the defence. But I think in reality, it's quite worth it. So obviously, I've got six assets between Newcastle and Palace for game week 32, which looks really good. I've got 1 million in the bank if I want to make some changes somewhere else. I've got the Bournemouth coverage, still got two players there. And I'm betting on Brighton, Fulham and Man City winning the FA Cup quarterfinal. Like, legit. But I'm obviously not going with any Fulham players. I'm not going with any Brighton players. I think Fulham will actually rest for Southampton in what would be a double game week 33. So in reality, it's just going to be a single for the players I actually want to own, which aren't that many from Fulham, believe it or not. And then obviously, again, I've got no Villa coverage and I've only got one Man City player, but I think Haaland's the only one that is definitely a guaranteed walk-up starter. And for that reason, I don't want to be taken on Pep Roulette. And I just think it makes a lot of sense. So that's what I'm thinking in terms of a wildcard draft for game week 30. Now, if we look ahead again, back to the fixture difficulty rating, and we're now going to look at the free hit draft for 38, because this is where the strategy all comes down in. Yes, it's all very nice having these plans, et cetera, and yes, things might change between now and 38, and maybe I do just free hit in 34, where there are some nice fixtures depending on the results. But if there's only three games missing because Man City beat Bournemouth and Aston Villa beat Preston, then all of a sudden, blank game week 34, and the fact that there's not going to be as many doubles either, there's only going to be six teams, it just makes it, yeah, I'm not sure, is the honest answer. There's only going to be three games that double across those couple of weeks. Therefore, I think that potentially you can get away with not having a free hit in 34 and you can save it for free hit 38, which is what I'm talking about. And as I said, the fixtures of target here, Arsenal versus Southampton, Bournemouth versus Leicester, Brentford versus Wolves, West Ham versus Ipswich, and obviously Newcastle versus Everton. They are very nice fixtures. And for that, I'll put together for this a free hit draft very early for game week 38. So, Areola and Reyes stay in goal. Kerkez is obviously in the defence with Wan-Bissaka. Julian Timber and Gabriel come in a triple up on the Arsenal defence. Dan Byrne is obviously there as well. Kluivert's in, Mbeumo, Salah, Gordon, Bowen. And then up top, it's Isak, Evanilson and Wissa. Literally just targeting those fixtures in game week 38. Like, I think they're better fixtures for those forwards than what Erling Haaland's got against Fulham away. Like, Fulham could potentially be on the bench. If they win the FA Cup, they're 100% not going to be in that game. And then definitely you target Man City players. But a very early look ahead, this team is substantially different to the team I currently own, which is why I really like the free hit. Obviously, I've got 6.6 million in the bank here. Attacking the one-off fixtures. Again, I've got the Bournemouth, Arsenal, Newcastle, Brentford and West Ham coverage. And the idea would be to finish the season with a bang. Now, if I'm sitting there like I'm like ranked 2,000 or whatever, and I can play a free hit in the last game week of the season, I can finish in the top 1K. Like, that is the plan. Like, the plan is finish top 10K. I'm in a great position where I'm at the moment. And this is why I'm thinking, and hopefully it just gives you a bit of food for thought in terms of what you're going to do, your chip strategy. And the fact that we've got an international break, it's a really good time to sit down, analyze maybe your top 500,000, you want to get inside the top 100K. Definitely doable, but you've got to have a strong strategy. You just got to be a bit aggressive with it. Like, so many teams have become the same. I've started to take a few risks, hoping that it'll pay off. It obviously paid off in game week 29, so I'm hoping over the next 9 weeks that continues to pay off. No guarantee, but I'm certainly hoping it does. So that's my updated chip strategy with a wild card early draft for game week 30. Let me know in the comments if you are liking what I've come up with there. Is it something that you can sort of resonate with? Am I missing? Am I just being rude and just missing out certain teams based off my line of thinking? Or am I bang on the money and maybe I'm going a little bit against the general grain that everyone else is pushing out? Let me know. Is this kind of thinking going to take me inside the top 1,000, or is it going to start dropping me back down the rankings? Let me know. And if you haven't already, please like the video, subscribe if you're new, and I'll be back probably on Sunday night with my differentials for game week 30 as we ramp up after the international football in preparation for that midweek deadline, which is still a good 11 days away, I think it is. But yeah, hopefully this keeps you entertained. Let me know if it does. Thanks for watching. That's been the D Unit.